Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam. Get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Well, in the second half, we have the lead man from Bush, Gavin Rosdale, joining us, and we'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Chillicothe, Ohio. A 27-year-old man was charged with assault after hitting a friend in a public park with a can of Chef Boyardee beef ravioli. Definitely not a Jew.
Gavin Rosdale from Bush has joined us. The Art of Survival is the name of the album.
But definitely not a Jew.
Then definitely not a Jew. And you can stream it or download it wherever you find music.
I'm half Jewish, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. 1867, my family, Rosenthal, they came from Russia. So I have a deep sense of persecution within me at all times. So, I came from a fleeing people and Scottish McGregor, but it's the other half. So I'm like half Russian Jew, half Scottish McGregor, like Rob Roy. Conor McGregor obviously is a McGregor, but Rob Roy, that was based on my clan. So
either way, you're hearty stock.
I'm a good wingman.
Yeah. And can be addicted to alcohol and prescription medications,
nice.
If you think about it as well. Bush and
could you put your dad Gavin on, please? Or I don't know, we have his son on.
I know.
My God,
this young
brand
man.
New.
Yeah, what do you do? Why do you look so young? Is it the hardy
I just invested. If I flip the camera around, you'd see like I got those like really vain ring lights that just helps you out.
So, trust me, that only does so much.
I come around. Hey, it's your idea to do Zoom. I want to come in the studio. Last time I've gone down the list. I'm now out of the studio. I'm on the Zoom guy.
We have to fix that.
The Bush and the first album, which went 16 stone, which went certified 6 times multi-platinum. I remember it's very carved out in my world because that album came out in 94. It must have come out early-ish in 94 because I hit K-Rock Radio in about May or so of 94. And they played on Kevin and Bean, and K-Rock was wall-to-wall Bush. But oftentimes those songs, a Bush song would be playing while I was on hold, ready to call in and try my comedy. So I'd be very nervous, very young, trying to impress Jimmy Kimmel and Kevin and Bean. And a Bush song would be playing while I was waiting. That album must have dropped early 94, right?
I didn't know. If, I thought it was 95, but maybe. It's
oh
94.
No!
November. Yeah. I mean, but listen, the pandemic's fucked everything up. I have no idea of time, and nothing makes any sense anymore because we like mind warp, and it's just easier. Just be make it simple. Everything is 2 years ago.
Yeah. Good. That's yes. Right.
It's like, you know, from now on, everyone under the age of six will be six. You know.
Good.
It's that bananas thing. You know what I mean? Just like, whatever. Rewrite it.
You were, I mean, you, so Bush had only been together for a couple of years before the crazy success of that album. Is that correct?
Yeah. It took about 2 years, you know, to meet and then like maybe a year to write a whole bunch of songs and a year to get kind of, you know, to not, you know, to play pubs and clubs and not get the deal and then get the deal and then bring it all together. And, you know, that we went back to work. We made that record and then we got Frank Wells from Hollywood Records was originally the distributor, right? With Hollywood Records. And they took that 16-stone record when we did it, we finished it. And apparently, according to the head of the label, Trauma, they took the record and they threw it at them and said, not only are there no singles on this record, there's no album tracks. So we left, we were thrown out, we were dropped from Hollywood Records. And then Ted Field from Interscope.
Heard yeah.
it. I even believe he heard it, in fact, played on K-Rock. And he stepped in. So it was a whole weird thing. Were you at that show, the Dragonfly, where the power went out three times? I had this showcase for K-Rock, first time ever, and the power went out. We basically found out that the whole band was on one plug. So every time we get to a chorus, you know, everyone was playing a bit too enthusiastically, it would shut down. And three times we go back on, I remember Kevin come backstage, and I was thinking, that's it, you know, I finally got a break, but I'm just destined for nothing because I can't even get a break. Like, this is the biggest break in my life. And Kevin came backstage and was like, you guys, the real deal. And I was thinking, I love this guy. He's wrong, but I love this guy.
That would be Kevin Weatherly, right?
Yeah,
Kevin Weatherly. I mean, imagine a time when a radio station was so powerful and a program director was so powerful with Kevin Weatherly that if he would play your songs, it would go worldwide.
Yeah. He was a
I don't have to imagine it. I miss it every fucking day. Every time I put out a record, they're like, you know what I mean? Trying to find a place in this fragmented world, you know?
Well, you know,
it's very hard.
The thing that was funny about my relationship with Kevin Weatherly, he was the most powerful programmer in the world, and everybody wanted 10 seconds of his time. You know, every A&R guy and every record label guy and every young fledgling band was like, could you listen to my tape? They all wanted to catch Kevin Weatherly's ear for 2 minutes. My relationship with Kevin Weatherly is he was going to yell at me for something I said on the air. So I would run past his office and he would yell at me, get back in here. And I'd have to stop and sit back. And then we'd do air checks where he'd listen to stupid stuff I said on the air. So I was the only guy in America who didn't want to sit at Kevin's desk and listen to tapes with my voice on it. Everyone else was sliding them under the door. Yes. I also...
I'm still trying to get his attention. I was at K-Rock last week because there's whatever, you know, a new record. He's nearly going to play the song. It's like the same dance. I'm still dancing with Kevin.
The thing that's funny, you brought up Ted Fields from Interscope. Interscope, the guy Ted Fields who owned Interscope, as I've said, because I like to do a bit of car racing. That guy was huge into car racing, had Porsche 935s with his sponsorship, Interscope, all
That's
over.
That's when you're a baller. You can sponsor your own car.
Around today, here's how big a baller that guy is. I was at the track in Northern California a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to a sort of an old timer. Mm-hmm. He said, that guy Ted Fields would go to Sonoma, race his Porsche 935 for qualifying or whatever. Then he'd hop on a private jet. He'd fly back to where he lived at some, you know, Orange County beach city, spend the night, and then get back in the plane and fly back to Sonoma and do the race the following day. Just
that's good
eccentric,
living.
Super rich guy who
what loved a footprint.
Crazy
what
car. Yeah. What a carbon
footprint.
He'd step right out of the jet and get into a car with no catalytic converters.
He's worse than a cow.
Yes, that's right.
He is.
Than 100 cows.
Did you know Ted Fields? Did you?
Yeah, I love him. He's a great guy. Great character. And it reminds me of sort of, you know, he's like a Hearst. He's like one of those mythical figures. I went to see him a couple of years ago because for whatever reason, and I went into his office and it literally was like, it was like, you know, he's a larger life, Howard Hughes-esque stature, and like, so there's massive offices on Wilshire. You know, you go in, there's like one massive room with a beautiful desk in the middle of it, with like a sort of a like the sort of secretary, the prim, amazing looking, kind of perfect secretary. And then go through, and there's an even bigger room with a great view, just one desk, and like, and just like a couple of chairs to sort of be grilled by him. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's a good, he still lives the life. He's still racing that Porsche.
Is he?
I don't know, but I mean, he lives the life.
Metaphorically.
He's definitely on his jet. That I can tell you.
I'd love to interview that guy.
He's going to a climate change convention.
On his jet with his Porsche in tow. So did you move out here shortly after Bush's success out to California, LA?
No, I moved into a hotel and living out of a suitcase and just, you know, 3 years straight, more or less, of just touring and clubs, just building that connection with people that sort of is an incredible way of doing it. And that's how we did it. And no, I was always backwards and forwards. And I don't know my family. I still have a house there. It just got flooded. Really annoying. But anyhow.
In LA, your house got flooded?
No, in London. London. No, I lived here as soon as I started having kids here. Just obviously at that point, they ruin everything, and you have to live where they are, you know. And I don't believe in that sort of, you know, long distance parenting thing that sometimes people have to do for their own. You know, I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. So, I have my three boys, and they live with me half the time. You know.
Did so you toured nonstop at the beginning? I mean,
yeah, I toured quite a bit right up until, I mean, I began to tour a bit less when I started to have kids. But yeah, you know, I mean, I just came back from 9 weeks of America. I did Australia, Europe for 6 weeks. I did Australia for 5 weeks. So I put the time in this year, and my kids are like, you know, no, why are you going away again? I say, when do you want to live in Reseda and you don't want any sushi ever again?
That's the threat. Do you want to live in Reseda and don't have sushi?
You go Deep Valley, we're fine. You know.
Yeah. Johnny Drama won't go to Gavin's place.
That's right.
As I've learned.
Gavin was coming on Loveline back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gavin's on Loveline back in the
day. I've always done whatever's been asked of me with K-Rock because I like it. And I've known you all for like a long time now.
Yeah, Gavin did that. I think you brought Gwen back in the day even, which must have been, well, you guys must have been dating back then because did you get married in 02?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. 02, yeah. It was like a long time with that girl.
She's got a lot of range in rockers. If you really think about it, in musicians to marry. I mean, she's married to Blake Shelton right now. And I think you guys are pretty on the ends of the spectrum in terms
musically.
Of male musicians. But
it was funny because I was thinking about that when my kids come out on tour. And it's like some things you can't ask your kids because you want to like, you know, you wonder, because I do wonder when they kind of stand up there and play their songs together and stuff like that. And then, like, I'm, like, diving into the drum kit and running through the crowd and crowd surfing. And it was like, I feel pretty over dramatic when they come. Like, I'm like, am I too enthusiastic? You know what I mean? Is it weird? But so that's the only thing. I'm really committed, you know. For some reason, I love the performance of the kind of art of performance, you know. And I actually was really inspired by a lot of American bands early on that just had it, from Hendrix, you know, Jane's Addiction. I've always said it's boring. I've said it so many times. Like, you know, Perry was such an interesting performer that I just loved that style. You know, in England, it wasn't really about that. The Sex Pistols were really wild. He based it on Richard III, you know, that character that what Olivia played, you know, all that hunch stuff. But I just like the performance of it. So when I play, it's the songs, it's being in there, but it's really like just freaking people out. I liken it to a bit like, you know how beat boy dancers, you know, when they do the swivel, sure, they're just standing there, suddenly they go whoop, and they do all the swivel, and suddenly they create this energy field, force field around them. It's kind of like what we try and do live in a weird way, so that it's really committed, and it's very performance-based.
Do you, we were marveling at what amazing shape you're in at the ripe old age of 56, although you just missed Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's 68 and jacked. That guy's,
wow.
He may not like vaccines, but he's definitely juicing. There's a syringe somewhere in his life. I mean,
shit.
He's got the good Kennedy genes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But that guy's got no waist and a lot of upper body.
The Popeye forearm.
He's a strong-built dude, but Gavin's no slouch either. Do you have a regimen? Do you vegan, vegetarian, play a lot of tennis?
I'm a lot of fun. So I totally try and have been trying for a long time to minimize the whole meat thing, because it is a bit sucky, the effect. So if you eat so much meat, it's not good for the planet. So you try and minimize that. But no, I eat everything. I love to cook. So I'm loads of fun. I don't have any restrictions and issues. I'm sure I'm really good with gluten. It's like everything is fine in my life. So
even from the Russian Jewish side.
But I'm also, I'm mindful. You know what I mean? It's like I would love to. I love chocolate. I would eat tons of it all the time. But I sort of appreciate that maybe not eating as much as I want is that good for me. So I did notice recently I was in Australia, and I was like, fuck me. I was like, I felt a bit heavy. I was like drinking beers, and I was like, what is going on there? So I just cut back on the beer. That's a fun one. So suddenly out of nowhere, I look really well, like well-fed, stocky. I was like, I've never been like that guy. So it was a beer.
You mentioned taking your kids out with you. Do your kids think you're cool? Have they gone through phases? Well, where are they at right now?
I don't have any direction about, or I didn't get any sort of training about parenting. I got loads of books. I read one line, the only line I read in the book about parenting. It said, the babies ignore the father because they're so connected to the mother up until 9 months. And at 9 months, they switch and can only be placated for a short term by their father for a couple of months. And like fucking clockwork, it was like an iPhone. It's like all my three kids, like an iPhone. Just at 9 months, I became the hero. Obviously, I was around every minute that I could all the time with them. But I just sort of facilitate ways to help Gwen rest. And so I'd take them for walks and they'd like me and all that. I was their dad, but their mum. But at 9 months, it's like it turns around. And you become the, I don't know, it just goes to this thing where you placate. So that's the only training I've gotten. The rest of it is sort of pretty instinctive. And I talk to them and I respect them. And like, I really hope they don't think I'm uncool at times. I did get out of the car yesterday to a flag football game. And as I walked over, my kid, I guess my T-shirt was stuck in the top of my pants. And my 14-year-old goes, Dad, you're a... I was like, oh, shit. Oh, I'm thinking myself.
How dare you?
Now I'm that guy. I know the coffee's staying dad. that was the only time. The rest of it, I think I get on with them really good. I'm not that friend. You know, I don't like that sort of pally-pally. But I'm really, like, respectful of them and talk to them, like, with respect. And I think that means that I hold on to my cool. So I think they think I'm pretty all right. You know what I mean? But they sometimes, you know, my middle son didn't want me to take him to his girlfriend's bat mitzvah. I offered to go as his wingman. He's like, oh my God, no. So I dressed up all in a suit and I took him to the synagogue and I went all the way up to the entrance. I don't want to just leave my son at the entrance, you know? So it's like, let me just go in. I'm your security. You know, I'll walk 2 feet behind you, you know, 2 feet in front of fucking kids. And they're going inside. And the mothers are going, a couple of miles on the way up, and they're all dressed, and this is the synagogue. They go, oh, come in. There's plenty of room. Come and join us. You must join us.
Gavin Rossdale shows up
at your synagogue.
I could sell my son was crushed. He did not want me anywhere near that. So I was like, no, just driving. I'll be back at, the 11:15 pickup or whatever. It was 12 o'clock pickup at the Holiday in Ventura, just off Ventura.
I've been everywhere.
So most of the time, but apart from those twins, and interestingly, it's the same kid.
I had a sad realization actually when I was walking out to the car this morning, because when I pulled up into the garage last night, my 16-year-old son was attempting to put air in his bike tire.
There we go.
Electric bike, that's but bike win. Nonetheless. Hey. He had figured out a way to plug in my little compressor. He had the hose out, and he was going to do it. Part of me stopped as a sort of old mechanic guy and was going to give him the get out of the way, let me handle this. And then I thought, no, you go at it.
Let's see how this looks.
And then at a certain point, I went back upstairs. I went in the house. A couple hours went by, and I called him and I said, are you still wrestling with the bike tire? And he said, no, I rode the bike to the Y. And I said, you filled up the bike tires. He said, filled up the bike tires and went to the Y.
Look at him.
And then I was walking down to the car this morning and I thought, son of a gun, put some air in those bike tires. Not too shabby. And then I thought, well, he's fucking 16 and a half.
I know.
How impressed are you?
Storming the beach at Normandy. I was taking bikes apart, like rebuilding small block Chevy engines. Like, I was so over the moon that he'd managed a way to get air into a tire of a bicycle. And I looked at that as such a major, thrilling victory as a ex-blue collar dad. And then I thought, man, have we lowered the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Putting air in a bike tire is something I mastered at 7. And I was, I liked it, but I realized I built it up too much.
I have that age. So it's hilarious, the things. We go out for school in the morning, and so they're having their breakfast. I made a couple of burritos, and they're waiting for them. And then I made them some sandwiches for lunch. And I put them by drinks and some fruit in the door, in the hallway. And one of them stepped over it, took the burrito, but took his water, the fruit, but stepped over his sandwich. left the burrito. And I was like, in the car, I was like, you want the burrito? He goes, that was me. I was like, it's with all your stuff. What do you mean? What am I going to do? Put it in your face? So it just got pretty funny.
I'm hoping this is true.
Dad podcast.
I'm hoping this is true because he's one of my favorite songwriters and lyricists as well. I hear you may have quite an affinity for Leonard Cohen. Is that true? Yeah. I'm wondering what your favorite song is, because I feel like he's lost in when we have these conversations about like great lyricists and great songwriters. I love Leonard Cohen. We never talk about him.
Chelsea Hotel is the first thing that came to mind.
Same.
I need to hear some Leonard Cohen songs.
I mean, we have the music,
Yeah, Chelsea Hotel and Famous Blue Raincoat have been stuck in my head for 20 years. Just always.
He's an incredible man, what a great poet.
I'm so glad to hear that.
A melodicist, he's like underrated, I think, in terms of his gentle kind of melody. Yes. They're really, really beautiful.
Is he Broadway?
No. He's Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a documentary coming out about that song. Not him, not his career, that song.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's coming out in like a month.
Well, because it went through a real journey, that song. I think he got dropped by his label because he wrote that song, that kind of thing. Labels have a lot of insight.
Maybe I'm just thinking Leonard Cohen because it's...
Cohen?
Leonard Bernstein.
Bernstein, sorry.
It's a bit, it's maudlin. It's pretty maudlin, but it's beautiful. I mean, hypnotic, He's like, it sort of has a quality of like, he's a precursor to Nick Cave or something.
Mm.
That same register. He's like, Tom Waits without the gruff.
Yes.
It's that register, that feel.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Passed away. No.
Died in 2016.
Oh.
So what was the story of the song, the guy who sung Hallelujah died, right?
Yeah, Jeff Buckley made it even
famous. Yeah.
Drowned swimming, diving something.
Yeah, like drowned somehow. Of all things, many years ago when I was doing Dancing with the Stars and got a little FaceTime with Priscilla Presley, she was explaining to me that she wanted to make a documentary about that song.
Wow.
Maybe this is it.
That was, you know, 10 plus years ago, but I don't know if that's, if she's behind this, this doc that's coming out about that, about that song.
TV takes time. I've been trying to do a, my own show for a few years now, but I think it's, TV is really hard to break into. It's really hard.
What show do you want to do?
Like a fortress. I did this show called Eat with Gavin Rossdale, and I just shot two episodes, two pilots. It's like an interview show, exactly like basically comedians in cars getting coffee. But yeah, it's different in that I just bring people around. I have dinner, make people dinner, have drinks, shoot it, and like take juicy bits, funny bits, interesting insights, you know.
Sort sounds of like. Awesome.
No, no difference. Like sort of an active podcast. It's an active podcast. Unless you're a guest, then you just sit there and eat and stuff.
Let me guess. Some producers want it to be more Real Housewives-y. Like, who's going to flip your table over? Who's going to throw a chair through the window?
No, nothing like that at all. No.
Good.
I'm going for like, you know, I just want like amazing celebrities that we're interested in and we know. But yeah, we don't really know at all.
Yeah.
And make an attempt through a dinner as opposed to a sort of specific interview slot. Like a dinner, like come at 6 o'clock and, you know, and the whole thing is set to the kind of schedule of like real time, you know, like the dinner. So that's it. I shot two episodes already. I shot two of them already. And I've been waiting. It's taken a couple of years. I shot them so long ago that my hair was a little short and I was, guess either me or my hairdresser going through a crazy midlife crisis. I like a bit of a blonde streak here, blonde streak on the back of my head. It was like, it was funny. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, let's have a laugh. I did a TV show in England, The Voice, and I was like, fuck it. You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, and my guy's like, yeah, let's do this, let's do that. And I was like, whoa, I look like a weird zebra, but it's cool. So I don't know how to integrate those two episodes because now I've got kind of, you know, just regular.
I want to circle back to cooking, but I do want to say this because it popped in my head, and don't be too modest here. What celebrity, because you're going to have celebrities come over and you're going to cook for them, what celebrity is a huge Bush fan? Because I was just watching TMZ the other day and found out that Serena Williams, for instance, is a huge Green Day fan. Huh? And I was like, oh, I'm surprised, but on the other hand, it's got to be cool for Green Day when you find out that Serena Williams is a massive fan.
That's cool.
And it happens every once in a while when you're a celebrity, you think in terms of your fans, but you don't ever think in terms of another celebrity being a huge fan of yours. So Bush, throughout the years, for sure, must have had some celebs or presidential nominees or politicians or whomever that were big Bush fans.
Yeah, well, I did have the judge at my jury service excuse jury number 154, who was me, and thank me for the record that got him through his college years.
Damn. If it's not good for anything else, it's good to get out of jury duty.
It was, yeah. Fucking guy who was suing Santa Monica City because he had climbed over the gate at 1 a.m, wasted, and fallen and broken his ankle. So he wanted $1 million.
That's like the Curb Your Enthusiasm
episode. That sounds so Santa Monica to me.
Brilliant.
The documentary is called Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song, and it's already out. You can rent it. It's streaming on many platforms, not produced, at least according to IMDb, by Priscilla Presley.
That was a non sequitur. The story was going so well, but go on, tell us.
And in the documentary, they talk about the Santa. No.
They literally, was that the season finale of the Curb Your Enthusiasm season that year? The robber went over the fence?
In the pool.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
The pool. Right.
Well, no, there was no fence.
Oh, right.
Tracy Ullman just to get the.
That's right. The city council woman.
Hey, I'm telling you, if you've ever tried to pull a permit or dealt with the city, especially the city of Santa Monica, you will take a bullet with a heavy set city council member. Those kind of thoughts will go through your head about month 17 of you not getting whatever it is you're trying to get. I swear to God.
Handle on my gate to walk in my house 17 months later.
Oh my God.
Did so, but other than the judge, other than the judge,
Brad Pitt, he loves Bush.
Brad Pitt. That's a good answer. And there's no way for us to verify it. So it's a great answer.
Thank you so much. And I was going to say Chris Martin also, you know.
Oh, that's good.
He's no slouch.
Fellow musician.
Well, it's unfair because he's like a fellow Brit, but I could say anyone I want because you don't know how to bring him up and ask him.
No, there's literally no way.
True.
Yeah, you got to keep going. If you got down to like John Hyatt or Graham Parker, I might be able to follow that up. John Popper. I could probably authenticate that, but I do not have Brad Pitt's phone number. Oh, by the way, John Popper is going to be on tomorrow.
All right.
Oh shit.
Hey, Gavin, you want to hang with us and do a little bit of news?
Sure. What do you got?
We got a quick spot, and then we'll do some news, and you can just chime in, tell us what you think. Stamps.com. Okay. Holidays have a way of sneaking up on us, especially for a small business. Get prepared. Get Stamps.com, the 24/7 post office you can access anywhere. I've used Stamps.com for 12-plus years here to ship merch, books, paperwork, plus exclusive discounts like 86% off UPS rates. Rates are constantly changing with Stamps.com's switch and save feature. You can compare carriers and rates and get the best deal every time. Sign up with the promo code Adam for a special offer, including a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale, which we have here. It goes up to about 80 pounds, I think. No long-term commitments, no contracts. Stamps.com is where you're going, what we've always used. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and enter Adam at Stamps.com and get all of those savings. All right, quick break. Back with Gavin Rosdale in the news right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold-my-beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Coming out, Beat News with Gina Grad.
The News with Gina Grad.
We're looking at a picture of Gavin and me and Dr. Drew. Must have been Loveline. Must have been
97.
1997, 25 years ago.
It's hard to pick which one's the best looking.
Yeah, that was a real coin toss. Row of lady killer. Are they used to call guys who loved women lady killers?
That's right.
I think that's out of vogue now.
Yeah, it's not great. Especially with the true crime genre.
We got rid of lady killer. That guy's a lady killer. And the other guy's a coxman. We got rid of both those terms.
Yeah. It's for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Hey, remember the guy who slammed his SUV into the Christmas parade in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been found very, very guilty. He was the one in Waukesha. I'm sorry, near Milwaukee in Waukesha. He has been found guilty of first degree intentional homicide during that attack in November 2021 that killed six people, injured 48 others. And remember, he represented himself. He was found mentally competent enough to be his own attorney, which I don't think went super well. He would clash with the judge over disruptive behavior throughout the three-week trial. He took off his shirt at one point. He'd scream at the judge.
Well, he made a fort out of boxes.
Sure.
And hid.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I believe
it. The legal boxes.
Yeah.
He went
he barricaded himself
igloo style. And built himself like a fort and was able to shield himself from the judge.
Totally competent.
Yeah.
So he would accuse the prosecutors of being slick with evidence. Like that was a legal term. The judge threatened several times to have him removed from the court. He'd mutter stuff under his breath. So each homicide count carries a mandatory life sentence.
How big when you're heading to prison for seven life sentences, yeah, how big a threat is I'm going to make you leave this court?
Yes, and what do you do then as the court? Like, there's no attorney, there's no defendant.
Yeah.
Control your client.
Yeah. He's gone. The trial's over.
Yeah. So the takeaway is he's never getting out of prison. Multiple life sentences and reckless endangerment and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I wonder if they charge him for a hate crime.
Oh, you weren't lying about the little igloo campground he
made. He built a fort to hide from the judge, full of boxes, which I would like to do at many dinners I've had with my family.
Yeah.
But I just realized it'd be in poor taste.
Right.
But emotionally, I was building a fort to try to protect myself.
Draw more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have any boxes because they didn't have any stuff.
True.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. He'd bring his own.
No, that's true. BYOB.
Yeah, bring my own box.
Yeah. And just to keep things a little maudlin for a moment, the details have emerged about Monday morning's deadly shooting at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School. That's the one in St. Louis. Police said the suspect killed two people, a teacher, a student, was later killed by the police. The shooter, identified as a 19-year-old black male, again, not saying his name, but he graduated from the school the year before, did not have a criminal history, nor a significant presence on social media. He brought an AR-15 style rifle, 600 rounds. Here's what they found.
It's always interesting. I like to take racial angles at everything, Gavin. But the Waukesha guy, black guy killing a bunch of white people, didn't get a ton of press. And I heard about this school shooting. I just heard sort of at peripheral. There was a school shooting. And I was like, oh, here we go. We're going to have all the town halls and all the usual suspects. And then I thought to myself a day or so ago, like, there's a school shooting. How come we're not hearing
more about it?
Because he had an AR-15 and he was black, and there's a narrative, and it didn't really fit very well. So it gets reported. We just don't have our town halls about it.
Well, they found a note, and that doesn't often happen, though sometimes there's, you know, symbolic, whatever, Nazi symbol or whatever. Not with this guy. He said, apparently, in the note, I don't have any friends. I don't have any family. I never had a girlfriend. I never had a social life. I've been an isolated loner my entire life. This was the perfect storm for a mass shooting.
I could have wrote that note minus the mass shooting part when I was 19.
Sure.
Gavin, you painted dentist's office, I heard, as a career at some point.
Yeah, I just was a painter decorator, you know, to make money. I was specifically clear that I never did a job where I could be of any particular use.
Smart.
You know, to anyone. So they'd entice me to stay, pay me more. You know what I mean? It's like, it was like I worked for a guy who actually I grew up with. And I worked for him. And then as soon as I made money and sold a record off, shortly after we met, he painted the house I got, and he's worked for me forever since. And he's kind of like set up the Zoom for me. So there you go.
<That's>
Life
amazing.
Is weird. But yeah, I mean, I think the one tragedy consequence of all these shootings is that people get inured to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like 2,500 shootings so far this year. That's what I read. 2,500. This is like, how you, it's hard to know where to put all the shock and horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right, well, give us a happy story.
Okay, let's do that. So apparently all you people hate the middle seat. I would much rather have the middle seat on a plane than a window seat, but I know I'm very much in the minority on that.
That's weird. Yeah.
I know. I don't like
sitting
next to the window. I know.
Yeah.
I want
the
aisle.
You're not in the minority.
You're the lonely one.
Just alone.
Well,
you're the lonely one.
It's funny you should say that, because so apparently nobody wants this seat. A recent poll proves it with 0.6 of 7,500 voters choosing that seat. But the way it was filled out, apparently a lot of those look like they were punched by accident.
Yeah.
So truly nobody wants it. So
why do you like it so much?
I don't want to be stuck against the window for two reasons. I need to be able to know I can get up freely, and also everyone knows if I fall asleep next to the window, that side of the plane will fall out.
And what about the aisle, though?
I need the aisle, but I'll take the middle instead.
What was the first bit you worried?
I just want to be able to get up.
You can do that in any seat. No?
Easier. I am very polite. I have a lot of personal shame. I'm from the Midwest. All these reasons, I can't wake a sleeping stranger and ask them to move so I can get up. I just need to be, left to my own devices.
But you want to try, because I live on planes a lot of the time. I'm mainly on the buses, but some of the hilarious crab-like moves you have to do.
Yeah.
Hold one leg steady, just raise the next one, and hold the seat in front.
Yes.
And just swing forward, and you just pray they don't wake up. Just that time when you're straddling them.
I don't have that move.
Lift the other leg.
It's like Fight Club, ass or crotch.
I would ask you, what is ruder? Is it me waking you up so that I can get around you, or is it me trying the Mr. Rubber Band
roundhouse
move, and then you wake up and my balls are in your drink as I'm trying to straddle you?
Point. It's a tightrope. There's no balls in the drink.
Right.
And it depends whose balls.
But before they sleep, that's why I sit down and I go, look, while we're taxiing, I'm going to give you an option. I can either jostle you and wake you, or I can dip my balls in your tea.
Let me know what you'd like.
However you want to play it, I'll do it that way. If you're planning on sleeping.
I think the takeaway from this conversation is you have low-hanging balls.
That's true. That's exactly right.
There was a big story about 2 weeks ago about the woman who was sitting in between the two tubalards and the...
And she was tweeting about it or texting.
She was tweeting about it, and then everyone turned on her.
Oh, yeah. What's she saying? What's she saying? It's brilliant.
We'll have it ready for tomorrow if the guys don't pull it up.
I'm the filling.
She was like, saying like, I'm trapped between these two, blah, 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 blah. But they could see it.
Nice.
And now she went viral being an asshole. And I'll have that for tomorrow if they don't pull it up. But let me...
But the good news is everyone attacked her and she just clapped back at everyone.
She did not apologize.
Good for her.
Yeah,
well, you've got, look, if there's two morbidly obese people that are bookending you and you become the burger in their bun, I mean, it's kind of on the airline. You got to buy the seat next to you.
That. By the way, watch out, because some people would enjoy that.
That's
Gina.
True. I would. Well, here's what Virgin Australia is doing about this middle seat situation. They're going to make it more enticing. They've launched this middle seat lottery, and it's only open to people who sit in that seat during the flight. So from now until next April, the end of April, any Velocity frequent flyer member, 18 or older, who sits in the middle seat can get on the app and enroll in the lottery, and they got all kinds of prizes. They have full-day helicopter pub crawls, two-night vacations, including flights, bungee jumping, Australian Football League tickets, just trying to get people to finally take up that seat.
It's a good idea.
Because nobody wants that seat.
No,
they can do anything they want. Nobody wants it.
I'll take it. I'll win all the prizes.
Everyone's like, oh, fuck the middle seat. What do they want?
Yeah, it's tough. It's obviously, if you're flying with somebody, let me give you, Gavin, you probably have this. If you're going to fly, and you're going to fly like Southwest or Coach or some version of that, it is very important for you to fly with somebody who's an underling to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I fly with a guy named Mike August everywhere. And I always force him to take the middle seat.
Oh, middle seat, Mike?
Middle seat, Mike, when I then go to the window of the aisle. It's important. That guy has to work for you. Like, you could fly with a lot of people, but you can't fly with Brad Pitt. Not on Southwest.
Right. Because as they often do, I'm
he's
sure.
going to trump you, and you're going to have to take the middle seat. Although he's a huge fan.
This is tough.
Rock, paper, scissors now. But I'm saying, as long as you have some tour manager or somebody, some roadie, or somebody who's also getting on that Southwest flight, you get them to take the Dumbo seat.
No, I go everywhere. I have a female tour manager, amazing Yvette, and she's been with us like 10, 11 years. And so she always takes care of that stuff. We're always fine. But generally, I haven't been on many three-seaters for a minute. We flew a lot all around Australia, actually, in those seats. And we didn't fly fancy, just flew regular economy. The flights were just about 2 hours, it didn't matter. But yeah, still... Those middle seats. It's so great. How great is it when you have the window and nobody sits in the middle? How great is that? They should do a sort of some kind of reverse lottery for that.
Right.
It's funny, though, because it's like it's all kind of relative, because you, especially if you get on that Southwest flight and there's nobody in that middle seat. Or, God forbid, you get the whole row. You get to put the armrest up and stretch out. But let's just convert that to... on land. Like if I just took a folding chair and slid it next to the window of my house and said, you can sit here alone for 6 hours. Isn't this awesome? I'd be like, I'm going to kill myself. I would kill myself. Yeah. So it doesn't really apply on the ground.
Would a tiny bag of peanuts sweeten the deal?
Folding chair with the padded seat.
Yeah.
And I'll hand you some Fiesta Mix and a little Mylar pack.
A little Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke. And you can sit against the window for 4.5 hours.
Not interested.
Not interested.
Not a full Diet Coke. The portion of the displaced by ice.
You create your own world. You know?
Yes.
Just get that window when you're just away from everyone. You just turn away. And I don't know what you guys are like. I mean, Adam's probably the same as me. Like, super kind of unfriendly. I mean, not really impolite, but like, it's like I don't want chatty guests, you know, chatty people and all that stuff.
Same.
So I have, it's the body language. When you have the window seat, you can just arch way around. It's just obvious. You've got headphones on. Your body language is closed away. And you've got a tiny little slice of the plane.
That's what I do at home. I'll take the folding chair and I'll angle it a little bit toward the bay window. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Glad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, let's give a plug out to Gavin Rosdale. The Art of Survival. That's the latest Bush album, and you can find it wherever you listen to finer music. You can download it and stream it and check it out. And also, if you want live dates, go to bushofficial.com. That's bushofficial.com.
Also, there's only two shows.
Yes.
We've only got two shows left that are booked. Otherwise, I'm unemployed.
Oh.
After this interview and those two shows, I'm unemployed. So,
fun.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, Vegas, New Year's Eve. That's where we play.
Well, when Brad Pitt drops out for the cooking show, you got my number. I'm happy to come over and eat your vittles. I know that sounded gay. The Real Anthony Fauci is the name of the movie. It's also the name of the book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I'm going to be in Vegas at Wise Guys Comedy Club coming up November 2nd. We're doing a podcast there. Carrot Top and Josh Wolf up on stage for that. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Gavin Rosdale and Gina Grad and Walt Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Fucking kids.
Make sure you get your copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Gather around for Halloween with Pluto TV's 31 Nights of Horror. All month long, Pluto TV is bringing you the best Halloween movies, shows, and more. Watch classic horror movies like The Grudge or The Blair Witch Project, or scream along with your favorite stars like Ryan Reynolds in Life. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. The best part, it's so free, it's chilling. No credit card, no sign up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start screaming now.